Okay, good morning. As we continue with Masechet Beitza, what I want to do this morning is I want a quick refresher for what we ended off with last week, and then I'm going to move forward. We said we're going to look at other ways of looking at the Gemara, but let's. It's important to sink our teeth in the actual. What does the Gemara say? So, Daf Beit, here we go. Gemara. So again, we're trying to figure out exactly when a Beit Zav, which is Nolda B'Yom Tov, we see the Mechloket Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai says Te'achel, it can be eaten, and Bet Hillel says it, Lo Te'achel, right? Cannot be eaten. The Gemara asked a question, what, and again, we've dealt with how pronounced Beit Zav, we dealt with different types of mukhs, so right now we're trying to figure out what's going on here. What is the argument in Bet Shammai Hillel, right? What are they fighting over? What are they battling over? So the Gemara asks a question. What are we referring to? What type of chicken is this? So, if we're dealing with a chicken, which is what? Homedet lachila, if we've designated this chicken, we are going to eat. Tef Pei Mudalaf. What? First page. If we're talking about a chicken, which has been designated to eat, so then, ask the Gemara, remember? Why in the world would Bet Hamai say you're not allowed to eat this egg? After all, ochla to efferhu. How do we explain the idea of ochla to efferhu? What do we say?
Meaning it's not designated, so...
No, it is, again, if we're saying that this chicken is designated to be eaten, I am shechting this chicken and eating it. Therefore, what's the status of this chicken? That it is not muksa. Remember? That's what Rashi said. Rashi said it's not muksa. So it's not muksa. And then this chick, and then you go Yom Tov morning to Shecht. And what do you discover? You discover an egg. You went to go Shecht the chicken for lunch. Then you discover an egg. Says the Gemara, what's the reason why this egg would be asr? It should be ochla defrad. Says Rashi, ochla shenifrad. It's just separated. Egg. What's the difference of a chicken leg and an egg? It's just an extension of it. It's like a chicken leg. It's a pulki, right? What's the big deal? Wasn't moksa going into Shabbos? Going to Yom Tov, sorry. And therefore, in the morning, what's the big deal if you decide to shecht it? Then as the Gemara said, therefore, the Gemara said, oh, I'll tell you what the reason the problem is. It's talking about a tarnagolet hamed legadol beitzim. It's rather a chicken you designated that it's going to lay eggs. And then the Gemara went on to say, Matamel Bet Shammai. What's the reason why Bet Shammai says you're permitted to eat it? Maybe, I'll tell you the reason why. Why is it that Bet Shammai says you're allowed to eat it? Because after all, muksahi, it is considered muksa. And if it's considered muksa, then what? How could you eat it? Answer. What's the problem? Maybe Bet Shammai doesn't hold by muksa. It's all review from last week, right? Maybe Bet Shammai holds, he doesn't hold of muksa. What did we say last week? That he doesn't hold by muksa. What did he say? That there's what's called muksa. Oh, there's muksa maximalists and muksa minimalists. And maybe Bet Shammai is a muksa minimalist. That he minimizes the amount or types of muksas that exist. And maybe for whatever, since he's a minimalist, this is an example of an item which is a muksa. Whatever his minimalist definition is, whatever that is, which we didn't have a chance to define yet, this egg would fall outside of that limited definition of muksa. And that's so. The Gemara goes on to say that I think that's the answer we left off there. I think that's where we left off last week. Okay? Last week. So let's pause here for a second. Tell me, what is going on here? So we remember last week we discussed different types of muksas. In case you forget, I will give you the handout from last week. Take a look at the top of the page. The top of the page, there's four bullets. Which one do you think, let's go through this, let's talk this out. Which muksa are we referring to and which muksa are we not referring to? So, if you had to guess, okay, there are four types of muksas there. If Bet Shammai is a muksa minimalist, What? Okay, so here we go. Ready? Kli shemelachto le'isur, we said, was like a hammer. It's a kli vessel. That's usage is usur. Two. Moksa machma chisaron keys. Oh, this is very expensive. This is a China, I don't know what, right? A delicate China statue of a chicken. Moksa machma gufo. Stone. Piece of wood. No function. Three. Basista varhaser. That we said was, let's say, a candle lighting tray. Where you put candles on top of this tray. This tray is also moksa. It's not a candlestick. But it's holding something which is moksa. What was that? Why? But is it a basis?
It's not
going to
be about money. It's not going to be about,
Right. Can be. An egg itself has no clue. Shmach to listen. Good. Moksa machmar chisaron keys. Not expensive. It's worth pennies. What about moksa mach gufo? Maybe it's basically like a piece of wood. Okay. Maybe it does have a purpose. A yontif chag. Okay. How is it a basis? It's an egg. Nothing's on top of it.
I'm saying it's the only thing that could be, but maybe sorry, the chickens out of the eggs because the chickens
out of
the only one could fall
on. So we're in a predicament. What are we going to do? It's not so easy. The only one, maybe you could argue it's moksa machma goof. Maybe, I don't know how. What's us with the goof? Okay, so we're in trouble. We're like, what are you talking about? So now you'll. What?
If he's not holding that, it's moksa. It doesn't fall in those four categories.
Hold on. So the problem is you're right, and you'd be right if this was two lines up. But the problem is, what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, the answer is moksa. Right, so the Gemara says, meaning, what's the rationale behind it? The Gemara is all of a sudden assuming that it's moksa. So maybe we're saying my kusha dimle shama lele moksa. Very good. Now we're saying maybe right shama doesn't hold us moksa. This egg doesn't fit in one of these categories. So maybe Hillel has another category that we don't have here, and that's what it fits under. Whereas because we look at our categories, we don't see how it fits. Let's go on. Kasato dati na filuman deshari b'moksa b'no l'aser. Now you'll appreciate the next line. Because now we're saying, hold on, time out. This is not a muksa issue. Because even if you want to tell me it's not muksa, betcha, am I? Maybe you could say, you know what the problem with this egg is? Say it's a muksa. It's no lud. Ba 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 ba. A new category. What's no lud? All of a sudden, we're calling it something different. What's no lud? Okay, literally, what's no lud?
A descendant.
What?
A descendant, a child.
A descendant, the word valad, right? It was born. Okay. That explain to me what in the world is wrong with Nola. So now we're saying, forget Moksa. This is more serious. This is Nola. First of all, why would it be more serious? What's the rationale behind more serious? And why would this fall under Nola? Well, that's an easy one. Why would this fall under Nola? Because? Yeah. So again, Nola means you have to. Without knowing too much, what do you think it means? Define nolud. An egg is nolud. What does that mean?
It's a subset of a type of moksa.
Okay, maybe it's a subset of moksa. Maybe it's a separate. Maybe it's a new category. Maybe it's a subset. Okay. But tell me what you think nolud is. What's the rationale behind it being super usher?
Dafka, because you think it's not usher, so the rabbanon place a stringent.
Why would something nolud be usher? Because of form of creation, therefore what?
It's what the sun because it's created.
What was that?
It has to do with creating something.
So why would that be usher? Go back to what did we say? Let's go back. Last week, according to Rashi, what's muksa all about? I don't understand. Let's pretend I have a stone. Before Shabbos starts, I want to use this stone to throw at people. I'm kidding. I'm using this stone for what? A paperweight. So if I go on, so I know, we're so used to saying Shabbos, it's so hard, but they say Yom Tov though. I know, I do it all the time. It's before Yom Tov, I have a stone in my hand. This is a stone. And I say, I want to use this on Yom Tov because it's a great paperweight. Or there's a thin piece of bark. Thin piece of bark is muksa, but it's a great bookmark. But it's a bookmark. So if we see, remember according to Rashi, it's all about, for Rashi, what's muksa all about? Dot and intent.
But this doesn't work for the egg-laying chicken.
But hold on. Why is it that according to Rashi, no Lord, that won't work?
Because you hadn't done something.
You didn't know it was coming.
But the egg-laying,
it didn't exist.
The egg-laying chicken, you expect it to lay eggs.
You egg-laying chicken. Hold on. Wait a second. We said this is an egg-laying chicken. Go back. We said before, good morning. We'll catch up. We're talking about eggs. There you go, right? So again, the question is, Beit Shammai says an egg which is hatched, or not hatched, an egg which is laid on Yom Tov is permitted to eat. And we're trying to figure out, why is it permitted to eat? So what type of chicken is it? Is it an eating chicken, one that we're going to shech to eat? If that's the case, why should it be forbidden? It's just separated. What's the difference? The egg is part of the chicken. You're going to eat the whole chicken. You're going to shecht it. What's the big deal? So he said, it can't be it. Maybe we're referring to a chicken which is an egg-laying chicken. So here's a question. Remember what we said last week and the week before about egg-laying chickens? Do eggs lay chicken like clockwork? We said they're not always 100% daily. Right, we said about only 200 whatever days, approximately 300 days of the year. But even more important than that, how could you have done on something that doesn't exist?
Because it's an egg-laying chicken, you know what's going to lay eggs. You have the dust, the egg that comes out of this chicken is for eating.
The question is, can you do that on something that doesn't exist? That's called lo ba la olam. If the egg doesn't exist, does the egg exist?
The egg does exist.
Because that's a...
At the onset of Chag, that egg is... If the egg's coming out on Chag... The onset of Chag, that egg is already...
All we know...
You don't know it exists.
All we know
exist.
Is that we showed up at 6 in the morning. And we did check on your chickens and you see an egg. And it wasn't there the day before.
But it was definitely in the chicken the day before.
Says, but Shammai, you eat it. If we're saying that it's about no lead, we can figure that out. Because... But it's a nolad issue. Even Beit Shammai doesn't hold by muksa. How would nolad? Nolad seems to be much more serious than muksa. What's the rationale that nolad is more serious than muksa? Da'at. Why is da'at a bigger issue by nolad? Because you can't have da'at. It wasn't there.
That's still just render muksa. That's still just render muksa.
So again, let's call that super muksa.
Like would render muksa under the third category,
where
it's like a stone.
Right, the difference is, okay, again, I'm trying to say is that it's like a... You said that an egg has function. Now we're saying, yes, it does have function. That's if it exists. If it doesn't exist, how could you have intent on making it into a paperweight or into a food item if it's a non-existing item? So now, go back to the Gemara, please. Here we go. If, again, we're reading Kasadada, Tafiluman Deshari B'Muksa, but no let us, sir. So if you're going to tell me, as we said, but Shammai doesn't hold by Muksa, after I went through all these categories, we say, doesn't apply. When it comes to no let, he's going to have to say it's Asr. So how could Beit Shammai permit the egg to be eaten? Because everyone agrees if you can't have that and intent, then how could you say it's permitted? It didn't exist on the onset of Yom Tov. So then, now you appreciate the next 4 words of the Gemara. Ma taima de Beit Shammai. So the Gemara's like, wait a second, how could Beit Shammai? Now, all of a sudden, I understand Beit Hillel. Perfect, makes a logical, rational sense. How do we justify Beit Shammai? After all, it's no lud, and no lud's usher. Again, according to Rashi, would explain very simple. Did you have intent? You couldn't have had intent, it didn't exist. So how could Beit Shammai permit the egg to be eaten? That's the question on Beit Shammai.
What was the reason we couldn't say that? It was a tarnagel that was omitted
Because if it was omitted lechila, How could Bet Hillel say you can't eat it? It's Ochel Dafrahu. It's just an extension, right? Again, Bet Hillel has to agree. Can you shech the chicken on Yom Tov? Of course you can. So when you go at 6 in the morning, you shech the chicken, you pull out the knife and you go, what? Freeze! Wait, there's an egg. Well, you're going to shech the whole chicken. Why can't you eat the egg? Because why? Remember, according to Rashi, see the first line of Rashi in the Gemara is, if it's Omeda L'Achila, then Eina Muksa. She'ena Muksa. Why? Because what was your intent? Think about it. You walked into Yom Tov saying, see this entity? This whole entity you are going to eat, consume, whatever. So what's the difference? The egg's part of the chicken at the time. When you walked in on Yom Tov, you said the wing you're going to eat, so the egg you're going to eat. What's the difference? So the entire entity called chicken, you have dot. And can you have dot for a chicken wing? Yes. You have dot for the egg? Yes, because it was part of the chicken. So it happened to separate. So what? The problem is, if it's like a Del Beitzim, how could you have dot on the egg? It didn't exist. You want to tell me, but you didn't see, meaning, you want to tell me it's inside the egg, it's inside the chicken, but it's very hard visually. It's a conceptual thing, right?
The egg exists.
The egg exists, right, exactly. It's not like it's not like, you know, ex nihilo here. The egg's not appearing ex nihilo, right?
That egg takes a danger.
Yeah, no, I agree. But again, especially if we say that an egg, that chickens do not lay eggs daily. Close to daily, but not quite daily. Then for sure you don't know, because there's a, right, I think we said the average chicken's only, you know, approximately 2 out of 3 days. Like five times a week. Again, you know one thing. You show up at 6 in the morning, and you see an egg.
When did you check before?
You checked before candle lighting.
Exactly.
Well, yes, yeah, whatever. You know. You have cameras.
There is some
depth. Oh, you have cameras in your
room. Right. Yeah, okay, you see it being late at 6 in the morning.
You check, you turn around and leave the egg as soon as you walk.
Right. Okay. It's like a pot boiling. If you look at a pot, it doesn't boil. You look away, it boils, right? It's like that. Okay? But that's it. So now we have to understand. So what in the world is... So what I'm trying to show you is this Gemara fits really well with all about dot, all about intent. It's all about a person's intent. Right? Why is chicken permissible? You walked into Yom Tov saying, I'm eating the whole chicken. Egg, no egg. That's why in the world... does the Hillel say you can't eat it? You're right. So it can't be that type of chicken. It must be a chicken tarnagolat homed l'gdel beitzim. When Yom Tov started, could you have intended to eat the egg? It didn't exist. Could you tell me in certainty that it was going to be laid? Okay, so it doesn't matter. Maybe even doesn't matter because you didn't see it. Right? I was going to say, you see it swollen, you see it's, yeah, agreed. Okay. So, therefore, so the Gemara is now saying, how in the world could the Shammai permit this egg to be eaten? After all, it's nolad, you couldn't have had intent. What does the Gemara answer? Ready? Amar Rav Nachman, everyone with me? Amar Rav Nachman, look inside. So again, we ask the question, but we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 font of the Gemara. 13 lines on the bottom. Third word. Amar Rav Nachman. Here we go. Lo lam betarnagolet hamedet l'gadol beitzim. We're sticking to our guns. This is an egg-laying chicken. Udi'it le muksa, id le nolad. De'let le muksa, let le nolad. Period. And we're saying no. Remember what we said about Bachama? He doesn't hold by muksa. Guess what? He also doesn't hold by nolad. What do we say about Hillel? He holds my muksa, he holds my nolad. So we had the havmina to say, we split it. We split, yes, but Shammai holds his no muksa, or he's a minimalist in muksa. What about nolad? Now we're saying no. Nolad and muksa are not that different. They're one of the same family. Just like but Shammai holds that there's no muksa, he says there's no light. But Hillel, the reverse. There is muksa, there is no light. That's much easier to understand. How in the world did Shammai say there's no light? What is it? How could the Gemara say there's no light? What must it be? Josh had a sfar before. What could you argue? No, you know, hold.
A lot of
right. So let's go through the first thing. How can he say that there's no nolad? What was the rationale behind saying there's no muksa? There's no nolad. He's a minimalist in muksa, and he's a minimalist, and this is not nolad. How come this isn't nolad?
The egg did exist in some capacity.
So what's interesting is the language of the Gemara. Does this seem to imply that there is a concept called nolad, and this just isn't it? Or sorry, that there is a concept of nolad. This is nolad, but Shammah's not bothered by it, or it doesn't exist. Meaning, is the egg nolad, and we don't care, or is the egg just not nolad? Did I explain that properly? I'll say it again. When the Gemara says, "Itle nolad, itle." So itle moks, itle nolad. Letle moksa, letle nolad. We're putting nolad and moksa in the same package.
It's hard to argue that we don't care that it's nolad. You're saying we have a law here that we don't care about.
When we're so dismissive of the idea of moksa, we'd be dismissive by nolad. Well, how do we do that? How can we be so dismissive of it? What about our dot and our intent? So, but the concept does exist, and things are usher if they're nolad. This just isn't nolad, or is that even if it is nolad, I don't care about nolad. It's not usher. The point seems to imply that literally nolad. There's no nolad. Even a nolad item is still okay. I.e., even though this is a new item, not a problem. Why not?
Because its purpose is obvious.
So, what do you mean, food?
Well, that's the same. Its purpose is obvious.
It's not muksa.
There's a general assumption that an egg is food. Why do you need to designate that an egg is food, that this egg is going to be eaten? That's what people do with eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Use that argument to, like, compare. Like, why do you need to even have thought that I'm going to eat this egg? Do I have to have thought that I'm going to eat any of the food in my fridge?
What was that, sorry?
Do I have to have thought that before Chag that any of the food in my fridge, I'm going to eat this food?
Isn't there a chance that it has fruit?
So we understood before what the difference between nolad and muksa. By the way, that my explanation that I told you was really that of Rashi. How I understand why there's no muksa, but nolad, how could you have intent? It didn't exist. If we're saying that there's no concept of muksa and no nolad, maybe we can say, you know what? Even this egg, even when I told me there's nolad, either I could say, you know, I knew that maybe it was coming every day, or its function should be permitted. After all, it's an egg, right? It's food. It's functional. Or it's not really nolad because I think that every single day, or almost every day, or I saw the belly swelling, or right? For whatever reason, there are many ways to be dismissive and to say, no, it's not a problem, this egg should be totally fine. Now, that's if you want to tell me that there's a concept of nolad, but here it doesn't apply. But what happened?
What would be the concept of nolad?
That what?
What exactly is nolad? It means that birth
is bad. Coffee is bad, sorry. No, you can't drink it. It's like not drinkable. No, I'll spill it out. So, I think nolad seems to imply that there's something that's new that didn't exist. In the Havamina, you couldn't have intent because it didn't exist. And therefore, how can it be permissible because it wasn't around yesterday? And when you walk into Yom Tov, you couldn't use it or function with it because it wasn't around to have that intent. Or you could say, you know what, even there's something powerful about nolad that anytime you have a new item, it's almost like there's a new creation type of a thing. And those things, again, we didn't have intent, we didn't know they were around. We can't use them on Yom Tov. This will come up a little bit when it comes to making ice. Making ice and melting ice. Is that a nolad issue on Shabbos?
You didn't make new water.
It's not cooking, right? It's making ice or melting ice an issue of no lead? Or, no, water is water. Molecular water is water. There's water and there's frozen water. What's the difference? This is also by snow. Is snow muksa? Is it no lead? Didn't exist yesterday. Right? There's no things. It's just for now. But these are where sometimes you see the word no lead come up in a very practical way. So, because let's face it, we're not dealing with chicken eggs too often in our daily lives. But we are, we do deal with, is snow considered no lead?
Also, if rain is considered.
Rain, right. Good point. Rain?
Huh? No, new water, though.
Really?
Water just recycles so over and over. It's not new water.
Right.
It was up to atmosphere. Coming back down. Right.
Changing states. The changing states, is that considered no lead? That's a good question, right? Is that no lead? Again, an egg, in many ways, is changing states too.
It was already an egg. It's just moving out from
so being
habitation.
Right.
You check the egg, you're going to check it.
What do you think a bigger no lead is? An egg? Rain.
Probably rain. Because the egg's already there. It's just a matter of it coming out.
Either.
The rain actually changes the face.
Josh?
New water.
Do you agree?
I think, well, I'll say you can. It's easier to predict or to count on a chicken laying an egg rather than predicting or counting on when the rain is going to fall. I think that would be.
Obviously, you don't know what chicken is.
Also, yeah. That.
Even they get it wrong, though.
Right.
So if the chicken lays eggs 200 something days of the year, Rob says it's probably going to lay an egg.
It's true.
If it's in the summer,
and in fact, if you have more than one chicken, there's almost a guarantee that one of them is going to lay an egg.
Yeah. If two chickens, chances are, that's not in the same schedule.
It's in the middle of rain season.
What was that?
It's in the middle of rain season. Probably best that it rains. Yeah,
let's be clear. This is Sukkot. It's definitely rain.
Right. But that's. I don't want to do it. It's rain. No, as if you asked me for a practical example, I just gave you one. It's a good example because could you catch rain? Could you put a cup outside, fill it up with water, and use it? Okay, maybe you don't want to drink from it because it might have the cleanest water. You could drink from it, or could you just wash your hands? For my macaroni. But I think it's very convenient. You're in Sukkot. It's Sukkot. You put a cup in the Sukkot, fill it with water, you wash your hands. Macaroni. Or to wash your hands. Or to. Right, because by the way, if something is muksa, something is no lud, and you not only can you not eat it, I can't move it, can't use it, right? So that would be a practical example. Can you use the water that you filled up in a cup on Yom Tov? Can you use it to wash your hands, wash the table?
And there was no intent before Yom Tov to do this.
And if there is, there's no lead.
Do we have any other?
It's not raining before Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly dry. You had a cup outside. Or when Yom Tov started, how could you have intent there's going to rain? All of a sudden it's raining. You go outside. Oh, it's raining. Now you put a cup outside. Fill it up.
It's not new water. You can catch water from a river, can't you? You put your hand in the river. It's coming from the river. It's not water that was available to you yesterday.
Should that in Yom Tov?
Why not?
So here's something interesting about Yom Tov. Well, you like to drink on Yom Tov, right? So I can't catch water.
Water that comes out of my cap wasn't in my tap yesterday.
You could cook food on Yom Tov.
Okay, so I can't have my egg. So why is Ben Hill saying you can't have the egg? If it's right, you follow?
Unless he's arguing that it's not an egg until it detaches.
It's not an egg
until it detaches from the chicken.
And that only happened at 5 in the morning.
Because it was specifically designated not for eating.
It was right, no, it was for eating. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but the Gemara started off right away saying if it's for eating, I don't see how the Hillel could forbid this egg.
Right.
So it must be it's egg laying. Oh, what about no lead? So we said originally. No, sorry, originally we said it's probably muksa. We said not muksa, because Bashar doesn't hold it muksa. We said maybe it's no lead. Then we're saying, if it's no lead, then how could Bashar permit it? Then we're saying, no, I'll tell you how Sharmai argues. That no lead and moksa are not separate. Like you said, they're just part of the same package.
Mm-hmm.
But Hillel says it's part of the same package. But Hillel says it's moksa, and there's no lead. That's why you can't. But Sharmai holds. mixes together with nolad, and he doesn't hold by them, and you can eat them. That was where we are right now in the Gemara.
The chicken that lays the egg is muksa, right? It's at the chicken that lays the egg. It is
so again. Again, according to Bet Shammai, at this point in time in the Gemara, Bet Shammai doesn't hold by muksa. He's going to say that it would be permitted, or how would he be able to eat this egg?
Any muksa?
He's a muksa minimalist, okay. And this would not be muksa, or how could he eat it?
But a chicken that lays an egg is going to fall under, it has no purpose. The chicken itself. You can't do anything with the chicken.
I agree with you. But somebody is going to say the chicken is fine.
Yeah, we're talking about how does Basilo hold that no lettuce? How does Basilo hold that smoke?
So then our question is, how in the world can Bet Shammai hold that is permitted? Answer. He said originally milk, so we said we're talking about.
Well, if he's holding,
he doesn't hold by muksa. That's why he permits it. What about nolad? No! He doesn't hold by nolad.
But if he's holding that the chicken's permissible, then anything that comes out of the chicken, why would that be
us? Very good. What about nolad?
But it's nolad from the chicken.
Right, the chicken's permitted.
I ain't permitted. So
Beis Hillel holds its muksa, so therefore anything that comes out of the chicken is muksa.
So we'd have to say this. I see what you're saying now. If... we have to say the chicken is not muksa. Give me 1 second. We have to say, because that's the opinion of, that's what Bet Shammai holds. And we originally said, what about nolad? Right? We said, what about nolad? What do we say by nolad? That? Maybe Bet Shammai holds by nolad, and then it's usher. Then how does he permit it? Answer, he doesn't hold by nolad either. Meaning, the chicken isn't muksa. Oh, and Josh says it's chicken isn't muksa. How can you eat it? You're right. Maybe it's nolad. The answer is, he doesn't even hold by nolad. That's why he can eat it. So you're right. If it's not muksa, you should be able to eat it. But then we said, okay, maybe it's nolad. Then you can't eat it. And then we said, maybe, how come he can't eat it? But he says you're allowed to eat it. Answer, doesn't hold by nolad or muksa. That was the stages. So, you follow?
Das in general. Before Chag, you're going to shack the animal. You have to have das in general before Chag, you're going to shack the animal.
If I have one chickens in here, I'm going to eat one. Good enough.
So then what's the difference between an egg-laying chicken and a meat chicken?
Because the purpose of it... Well,
I would never shack an egg-laying chicken. That doesn't make economic sense.
Eventually.
Okay. Yeah, but the point is you have to walked into Yom Tov saying, I'm not eating this chicken. Yeah? So, where we are right now, we're saying, there's no muksa. Bet Shammai. There's no muksa. There's no nolad. Eat this egg. Okay? That's where we are right now. So, let's take a look. Okay, so again, we coupled, which makes sense, muksa with nolad. But Hillel says they're both aser. So let's go through this. According to Bet Hillel, why is this egg aser? We said if it's a eating chicken, permitted. Therefore, it can't be what we're talking about. It's an egg-laying chicken. Why is the egg aser? Either you tell me the chicken is muksa and therefore the egg is muksa, right? Or you tell me the egg is nolad, doesn't matter. Both, either ways, you spin on it, but Hillel says the egg is aser. But Shammai, why is the egg permitted? You want to tell me that it's a chicken to be eaten? Permitted. Okay, that's not going to work because Hillel agrees. So it must be a situation of where this is an egg-laying chicken. And you're going to tell me that it's an egg-laying chicken. How could he eat the egg? Very simple. He doesn't hold by muksa. Therefore, the chicken's not muksa, the egg's not muksa. Yeah, but what about nolad? Maybe it's true this chicken isn't muksa, but the egg is nolad. Answer, no. But Shammai doesn't hold by nolad either, and therefore the egg is permitted. So where do we see this? So Gemara, now that it threw out that line, needs to base it on something. So what's its basis? That Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, and Bet Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, it's not just they pulled out of the air, you know? Muksa, no nolad, pulled out of the air, yes muksa, no, this goes back, this machloket, it's a much older machloket. And what's this machloket based on? Simple, I'll tell you. But Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Umi amar Rav Nachman hachi. So again, that was the entire statement of Rav Nachman. You see Rav Nachman's statement? Rav Nachman's statement is, lo olam b'tanu golem megzal beit. See? Let the muksa. He said, no, the muksa is no God. But Shammai says, I'll tell you, but Shammai is like Rabbi Shimon, but Hillel is like Rabbi Yehuda. So we ask the question, Umi amar Rav Nachman achi, wait a second. Rav Nachman really holds this? Rav Nachman really holds it, but Hillel is like... Rav Nachman really holds a bit Hillel's like Rabbi Yehuda? Is that really true? Vatanan, that's not true. There's a Mishnah. Bet Shammai Omri Magbihi in Malashuchan Atzamotu Klipin. Ubet Hillel Omri Mesalek at the Tavla Kula Uminara. That's Va'amar Rav Nachman. Anu ein lanu ela bet Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda ubet Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. So we're in trouble. Take a look at this statement. Rav Nachman, who four lines up, said that Rav Nachman made an argument claiming the following statement, that we're talking about a case where this is an egg-laying chicken and no muksa and no nolad is equal to Bet Shammai. Yes, muksa. Yes, nolad is equal to Bet Hillel. Meaning, that Bet Shammai is saying that that is very similar to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who also said no muksa, no nolad. And Bet Hillel is very similar to Rabbi Yehuda, who says yes, muksa, yes, nolad. How could that be? Because what do we just read in this Mishnah? What do we read in this Mishnah? So what does this mean? What is magbin mal shulchan? So let me explain to you something. It used to be in the olden days, people, they used to eat like this. I would sit at a table. You ever seen those kid trays? You ever seen what babies sit on? Babies eat off the tray. That's what everyone used to eat off of. People didn't have tables like this. They had their own personal trays, called a tavla. A TV tray. Well, very good. A TV tray. Very good. Excellent. So what happens? Let's say you're eating a chicken. While you're eating fruit. At the end of your fruit, what do you have left? If it's an orange or an apple. What do you have left at the end? The core, seeds, klipot. You have the peel, right? So my question is, what's the status of the peel? What's the status of the pits, or the core? Furthermore, if you eat a piece of chicken, what do you have at the end of it? Bones. What's the status of those things? How do you remove them from your table? Now, here's what's important. Do those have any function?
They were part of something that did happen.
So what's important is, and this is why I need clarification, is that Mishnah we just quoted is actually pertaining to Shabbos. So hold on for a second. So it's Shabbos, not Yom Tov. I'm eating my chicken. I've eaten all my chicken, and there's a bone that remains on my little TV tray. I'm having an orange, eat the orange, and all that I have on my little TV tray is the peel of my orange. Question, what do I do? Again.
It can't be a muksa because it was part of something. Like when Shabbos started, it was attached to something that wasn't muksa. So
here's
become muksa in the middle of Shabbos.
Right, okay, so here's my orange. Can I eat an orange on Shabbos?
Yeah.
Or Yom Tov? It doesn't matter. No problem, right? So I eat it, peel it away. It's not muksa, it's food, right? Now I'm left with no food. All I left is my peel. What's my function? Okay, what's the function of a peel on Yom Tov? On Shabbos. You're saying, what's the problem?
It wasn't part. It wasn't Muslim the first. How did it suddenly become Muslim?
You're saying that if what happens if something, well, I'll tell you the difference is that it was when it was attached to the food, it had a purpose. Right. Now it has no purpose anymore.
But it had a purpose.
But now, you're saying in the middle of Shabbos, when it has no purpose anymore. You could argue that it was as long as it was connected to the food, it served as serving the food. Now that it no longer is protecting the food, it's maybe it'll be a problem. So now you appreciate our Mishnah. Look at our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say you need to do? How do you remove them? What are the two opinions? What does the word magbim al shulchan mean? It says Behila Masalek at the Tavla Kula Minara. What are the two opinions? What does Bet Shammah say you need to do? Magbim al shulchan. What does it mean, magbim al shulchan? Yeah. So again, here's our mission. The mission reads Vatnan. That Shaman Rim Magbima Shulchan at Samos Fiklipin. But Hilam Rim is Salaka the Tavla Kula Minara. What are the each thing? How do I remove, period? How do I remove these two items? So look at Rashi Magbihin. That's a prayer of Shaman. Excuse me. What does he say? Oh, yeah, 5 minutes. Bishabis, Mal Shulchan at Samot, She'enan Ruyin Lachila. Veklipe egozim velo chayshinan lemoksa. He holds like Josh. Josh is like, I don't know what the problem is. Pick up your peel, pick up your bones, get rid of it. What's the problem? They're not moksa. Guess who holds that way? Bet Shammai. Now, does that fit with what we say? That fits very nicely. That's what we said. Bet Shammai. That fits. There's no question, brother. We're looking for a question in here. This is not the question. Question's going to come up at the end. Now, what does Bet Hillel say to do? No, you can't pick up the bone. You can't pick up the peels. What do you have to need to do? Says Bet Hillel. Misalek the tavla kulamara. You take your TV tray. You don't pick up. You don't not pick up directly the moksa. You're shaking it out. And then you put it in the back. But you can't pick up the bones themselves, because they're moksa. That's what Behilo says. Now, how come you're allowed to move the tray? Why isn't this a basis, the Devar Ha'aser?
The tray's purpose is
here. Because since the tray at the beginning of Yom Tov, at the beginning of Shabbos, was in permissible state, the tray can't change. Behilo says an item can change. This is important. Everyone agrees that a tray can't change. Shabbos started, was on that tray. In orange, no problem. The tray can be moved all Shabbos. But now my orange is gone. All I have my peels. But Hillel says, if it's just peels, my tray's okay, because it's a busis. And when Shabbos started, it was permissible, because it had the orange there too. But now it's 2 in the afternoon with no orange. I can't pick up the peel. That's much so. But my tray, I can move, because remember the tray? When you have to. So.
Based on
actual food. Wait, oh, that's not a question. So far we're fine. So I need to explain it. Oh, there's no food. There's no decent chance.
The bowl could sell some meat on it.
There's no meat. It could. There's no meat. I remove every speck of meat. Otherwise, you're right.
Based on that, if you have little crumbs of bread which nobody's going to eat on the table, and you have a tablecloth, you pick up the tablecloth and you have to dump it.
So this comes up a lot. How do you clear tables on Shabbos? Because I have bread, and I have bread. Now, here's the difference, though. Do you eat small little breadcrumbs?
Sometimes.
You do. Do you eat
in their board, or you just
do you eat a peel? No. I'm not going to ask you.
You can sniff the peel off. Sometimes they use it in salads. Orange peel does still have a smell to it.
So good. Okay. Now, where's the question? You understand there's no question so far.
Yeah.
I just need to explain the mission. What's the question? Here's the question. I guess we're going to stop. But here's the question. The question is... Bum, ba, dum, bum, bum. Famar of Nachman, Einu, Ein Lanu, Ella, Bet Shammai, Kerabi Yehuda, Bet Hila, Kerabi Shimon. What do we see from here? Bet Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Bet Shammai holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And Bet Shazar Shimon. So how? What are you talking about? That's not correct. You'll see why it's not correct. Amar Lach Rav Nachman, Gabe Shabbos. Satam lan kitana Rabbi Shimon detinan mechatzkin lunfe behema v'tenevelef neklavim mokim la lebet hila Rabbi Shimon avah gabe yomdav destam lan tana k'Rabbi Yehuda detinan ein mavkinesi merakor v'lo min hakorah shnish Rabbi Yomdav mokim la lebet hila Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the problem is, in order to finish this question, I forgot we actually have to read two more parts of this Gemara. So we haven't really gotten to our question yet, because right now it appears very nice. But Shammai doesn't hold the muksa, and Behilo does the muksa. So why is in the world is this a question? I'll tell you the answer now, because make it fit. Guess what's going to happen? There's two parts to this Gemara, how to understand it. It'll get a little confusing, but we'll be fine. This mission I told you is Shabbos or Yom Tov? No. Mission I just read to you right now. Magbim al Shulchan. Is Shabbos or Yom Tov? I told you Shabbos. Remember I told you Shabbos? Look at Rashi. Magbim b'Shabbos al Shulchan. So this is Shabbos. Rav Nachman's going to say that by Shabbos this is one way, but by Yom Tov we're more machmir. Why are we more machmir by Yom Tov? Do you know why? Because everyone thinks we should be Mekel. So therefore, to give Yom Tov more support, we're going to be more machmir when it comes to Moksa. Okay, so that we're going to see inside, but we will, in Mirz Hashem, build up the question. Rav Nachman, we're going to have to allocate a little bit more time, and that, God willing, we're going to do next week. So I would recommend just reviewing what we did, continuing, because it's a long build-up to attack Rav Nachman, right? And then Rav Nachman is going to try and defend himself on the next Amud. Okay, so that's what we're going to, God, Mr. Hashem, do next week. Again, we're going to see why is it a question, Rav Nachman? Right? We just started that. We have to finish it. And then how we try to defend it? That's on the second Amud. And God willing, that will be next week's topic. Focusing on the Shita of Rav Nachman.
We're going to talk about the Beitzah that Nunda Beyom Tov.
Okay.